This Raw Talk podcast is sponsored by our friends at Mortgage Express. We'd like to thank Alfonso Archuleta of Mortgage Express for supporting the music and ministry of M88. They're located at 3701 San Mateo Northeast at the corner of San Mateo and Comanche. Their phone number is 237-2460. It's the support of listeners and businesses like Alfonso Archuleta and Mortgage Express that makes the music and ministry of M88 possible. Thanks again to Mortgage Express and Alfonso Archuleta for sponsoring this episode of the Raw Talk podcast. And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo, and I don't have much of a voice, but I'm going to do my best for tonight's show because this is a topic that I think, especially in light of the upcoming election, is so important for us to cover that I wasn't going to let anything, a little sickness, a little not having a voice, anything of that, keep me from talking about tonight's topic as we get ready for the election this coming Tuesday. Now, real quick, before we move on, I do want to mention, first of all, thank you, everyone, for supporting us during our fall festival on Friday. We had a good turnout, and that was a lot of fun. However, if anyone happened to have seen a little white Ape Tech camera, A-I-P-T-E-K camera, we were using that to shoot our daily videos, and we were shooting some daily videos during the fall fest, and suddenly the camera disappeared. So we're not saying that anyone walked off with it, but it wasn't where I left it when I came back 5 minutes later. So if you've seen it, if you know where it is, please return it to the M88 Studios because that'd be a big help. We got a lot of videos on there that we want to produce. So just want to put that out there. And until we get that camera back, we're not going to be able to do any more daily videos. So if you enjoyed those, try and help us find that. Joining us tonight, one of our favorite guests on Raw Talk. She's always so bubbly, always has so much joy and so much to share when it comes about having a relationship with God. And so I'm really glad that Catherine Martin is joining us for tonight's topic as we talk about trusting in the names of God. And Catherine, thank you so much for sharing your time with us tonight.
Well, thanks so much. Greetings to you and hello everyone out there.
Well, Catherine, first of all, I just have to say that seems like the timing of this book was pretty interesting as it's coming out here leading up to the election this week. And I have to ask, was that at all intentional that this book, Trusting in the Names of God, came out right before the election when people are trying to figure out whom should they trust?
Well, I would say it was mostly intentional from God's side of things because it was his idea, and trust is what God's been teaching me over the last number of years. So I'm really thankful that it did just come out right at this time. It's God's timing is perfect, and I just think he knew, and there's just nothing more important than we can learn right now than trusting in the names of God.
Uh-huh. Now, real quick, let's touch on, you know, like define our terms here as far as trust. What does it mean to trust someone?
Oh, I love that. And I've thought a lot about this as I've been learning to trust. And, you know, I put it very simply. Trust is where we really put shoe leather to our faith. And I define trust as total reliance under stress and trial. And so you can just think of it as T-R-U-S-T, total reliance under stress and trial.
Well, if people want to call in, if you're listening and you have some issues about, well, I don't know how to trust God, now's an opportunity to get those issues resolved because there's never been a more crucial time to really understand what it means to trust God. I actually looked up the definition of trust in the dictionary, and it's reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, surety, etc. of a person or thing. Confidence,
oh, very good.
Which I really like when it comes to trusting God. And another one of the definitions was a person or on whom or a thing on which one relies, which I just think sum up exactly what our relationship with God should be.
It really is. It's totally reliant on the object.
Right.
And that's what trust is all about, and that's why it's so critical for us to know who God is.
Okay, you know, when I was thinking about this and looking through some of the things that you wrote in your book, one of the things that occurred to me is it seems, you know, with these definitions that we've gone over, it seems like a no-brainer to trust in God. It's like, duh, of course, he's the one I should trust in. And yet, that seems like such a challenge, even for Christians sometimes, to simply trust in God.
I'd say it's a challenge for Christians always, because you know what? That is right where the trouble is for us, because we're living in this world and we struggle. Our struggle, our issue is with worrying and wanting to control and being afraid and all of those things. And so it really always comes back to an issue of trust.
You know, I've been going through the Truth Project from Focus on the Family. And one of the things that they challenge you with in that study of what it means to have a biblical worldview is to assess, do you really believe that what you believe is really real? And as I was connecting that kind of thinking with what you wrote in Trusting in the Names of God, I realized that if we really believed that what we believe about God was really real, then trust wouldn't be as much of a challenge. But perhaps part of the reason that we have a problem with trusting in God and in his names is because we don't really believe the stuff about him is really real. We believe that the stuff that we see in this world is more real. Real quick, how can we trust more on something, someone, who we cannot see than the things that we see every day? Because I think that's a major hang-up for a lot of people.
Well, I think the secret is, first of all, realizing that you can't trust what you don't know. And if you, as you begin to learn about God, whether you can see him or not, you're going to discover that your trust will grow. Because what God says in his word is more true than how you feel. I mean, it is absolute truth. And so you will discover that as you begin to live in the Word and learn about who God is, what he does, and what he says, you're going to discover that the things of this world grow strangely dim. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say, is that your faith will be fueled by the facts of God's Word.
You know, I love that song that you just referenced. When it comes to knowing something, because I find it fascinating that you point this out, that trust comes from knowing God. How much does knowing someone's name play into how well we know that person? Because, you know, in our Western society, sometimes names don't carry quite the same weight that they did in other societies in past centuries. You know, just how important is it to know God's name?
Well, the names of God are more than just an identification tag. The names of God literally are his character, who he is, what he does, what he says. And they are the secret to trust. And, you know, it was an amazing thing to me when I began really reading the Bible and discovering that God had names, and he didn't have just one name, but many names. And this was astounding to me, and what that showed me is that God is so much more than I know him to be right now, more than I can even imagine him to be, and greater, and that there's always more to know of him. But even more than that, because he's given me his names, he's showing me that he wants me to know him. He wants an intimate relationship. But he also wants me to trust him. Because, you see, the secret to trust is knowing the names of God. And that's biblical. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, "Those who know your name will put their trust in you." So that's the secret to trust.
as you were preparing this book, going through and doing this study, studying the names of God, you know, as I was thinking about it, looking through some of the stuff that you've written, it just seemed to me, excuse me, so amazing that the God who created everything we see with a word spoken out of his mouth,
yes,
would make it possible for us to know him, and that he would make the introduction, that he would basically say, hello, I am Yahweh. Hello, I am Jehovah. Hello, I am Abba. That he would make those introductions, that he took the initiative to introduce himself, to tell us what his name was so that we could know him. And as I was thinking about that, that just blew my mind the more I dwelled on that. How much were you blown away as you were studying this and thinking, wow, I can't believe that God went to such great lengths to reveal to us who he really is?
Exactly. You know, it totally blew me away, because just to, and what you're talking about is the revelation of God. Hmm. The fact that God, the creator of the universe, who didn't have to reveal himself to us, he exists. He is wholly other, and yet he has chosen to literally open his heart to us and reveal himself to us. And he has revealed himself to us by giving us the Bible and giving us actual names for who he is. He's revealed himself in creation. We know that the heavens declare the glory of God. I like to think of creation as God's multimedia. And so talk about being blown away. Yes, I am blown away. And every day when I think about it, it makes you just, you could fall on your face to realize how great God is. I mean, God is greater than we know him to be right now. He's always more. Always more.
Well, if you have some questions that you'd like to ask about how you can better learn how to trust God and trust in his names, give us a call, 505-338-5790. This week would be an excellent time to get your questions in, because without much of a voice, I don't have a lot to say. So this is your opportunity to really squeeze in. You know how I dominate the conversation a lot of times because I have so many questions. I may not have enough voice to get all those questions out, so if you want to ask about what it really means to trust in the names of God, give us a call, 505-338-5790, to join in tonight's conversation, which would really be doing me a favor and helping me out as we go through tonight's show. And, you know, Catherine, we're in a time right now, a very crucial time with our nation, as we get ready for the election, where people are trying to figure out, who can they trust to go before this nation and lead it? And you know, we did a whole show on politics recently here on Raw Talk. And one of the things I was pointing out is, like, why are we even bothering trying to turn to a person to do that? We should be turning to God to do that. And how might it benefit us to really understand that for some of the problems that we're facing that are too big for any one person to manage, that it would really benefit us as citizens, as a nation, to learn how to trust in God's name beyond just what it's stamped on our coins, in God we trust? I mean, how can we really put that into action as a nation and understand that we need to have him go before our nation and lead us?
Well, that's exactly right. The ultimate trust is our trust in God. That's what God is looking for, is not to trust in man. As a matter of fact, in Jeremiah 17, he literally says that we are not to trust in mankind or make flesh our strength, and our hearts are not to turn away from the Lord. But it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. And then goes on to talk about all the good things that will happen when we do put our trust in the Lord. And I think it's to realize that ultimately God is sovereign. And God is in control, and that God is the one that we serve and the one we love, and ultimately he is the one that we live with forever.
Well, I want to talk about some of the specific names of God that you point out in this book and kind of tie them into some of the issues that people have been struggling with in this election and point out, look, if you're really looking for solutions, God's the one to turn to trust in for those things. But before we get to that, we have some people who are going to help me out here and ask some questions. We have Rachel on the line. Rachel, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, Rachel?
Well, I guess I'm going to refer to the election. I've been having a lot of issues trying to figure out who I should vote for, and I finally made up my mind. But last night I kind of was sitting in bed, and I've been attacked a lot for being very conservative. I'm proud of being conservative, and, you know, people are going to think what they're going to think, but I've been attacked a lot. And last night I was just kind of thinking about it, and I just came to the conclusion that no matter who gets voted into office, it really, in the end, it's in God's hands. And I guess I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to vote, simply because I am and I want to trust God into, you know, to do what needs to be done in order to correct our nation and just the world in general, you know, and I mean, and I guess I'm just wondering, I mean, is that okay?
Well, you know,
I feel like I'm kind of betraying, you know, the whole citizenship thing and all this stuff simply because I don't want to vote because in the end, I know I'm going to be okay because I do trust in God.
Well, you bring up a very good point, Rachel, and something that we definitely need to talk about, Catherine, the idea that, well, just because we trust in God doesn't mean that we are then free of responsibility. When we trust someone, we do have a responsibility to take some action of our own. And how can we make sure that we're doing that? That we're not just saying, oh, I trust in God is kind of like the easy. And I'm not saying you're doing this, Rachel, but a lot sometimes people do. I'm trusting God, and that's their easy way to avert responsibility. And how can we make sure that we don't do that, Catherine, when we trust in God? You know, what is our role in trusting God? What should we be doing?
Well, I think that we need to remember, and I'm so glad that you called in, Rachel, because I think that this is very important to understand that, you know, when you think about what it says even in Daniel 11:32, those who know their God will do great and mighty things. And God literally calls us to be an influence in the world where we live. And he says, as a matter of fact, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And, you know, what does salt do? Well, it seasons and it also is a preservative. And you're also the light of the world. And so he really does call us to be an influence and to be wise and to make right choices. And those choices are the things, as we live out resolves and commitments based on what God says in his word, God's going to take that and use it as an influence in the world. So what we do, everything we do, totally matters.
And there will be times when God will call us to do something, and our trust in him will be dependent on whether or not we're willing to actually follow through and do what it is he's asked us of.
Well, and I think trust is an action. There's no question about that. I mean, you know, you think about the tightrope walker and the guy up there on the tightrope saying, do you believe I can push this wheelbarrow across the tightrope? And everyone goes, oh, yes, we believe. And then he goes, okay, who will be the first to get in the wheelbarrow? That's trust.
Yeah.
I like
so
that.
So it is an action.
That's a good illustration. I'm going to have to try that sometime on a tightrope that's like...
What, get in the wheelbarrow?
Well, I think I'll first try and go across a tightrope that's like 2 feet off the ground.
Yeah,
I think I might try.
So.
Rachel, thank you so much for calling in. And again,
you
know, I wasn't saying like you're just averting responsibility by saying you're trusting God, but you bring up an excellent point. A lot of people are probably wondering the same thing. And may I just say, along what you brought up, when we trust in God, we can also be sure that if we're seeking after his will, that no matter what action we may take, say, in the election, if we're really trying to make sure that it's his will that it's done and his kingdom that is coming, then we can be confident and the choices that we are making, because we're trusting God to guide us in those choices, whatever they may be. You know, some people get a little nervous about that, but I say, you know, if you want to do what God wants you to do, you'll probably be making the right choices no matter what. So I hope that helps you out, Rachel.
Thank you.
All right, have a good evening.
You too.
505-338-5790 if you'd like to call in and ask about what does it really mean to trust in God, especially in the day and age that we're living in. We are living in uncertain times. We're living in volatile times. We're living in times where people are desperately searching for hope, for change, for answers. And they're turning to places that they probably shouldn't be turning for that, quite frankly. I know it sounds like a strong statement from someone who can't really talk, but it's true. We need to turn to God to put our trust in Him if we're really going to try and find hope, peace, security, all those things that we're looking for. And actually, Catherine, looking at some of the names that you explore in your book, Trusting in the Names of God, which name of God do you think would help address people's desire for security right now? You know, people are looking for someone who can lead them, who can help provide a more secure sensibility for them. And is there a name of God that we can turn to and trust in that will help provide that sense of security?
Oh, I love that. Well, there are a number of names of God that will give us that security. I love El Shaddai, because He is the all-sufficient one. Mm. And what that really means is that He is enough. He is enough no matter what it is that you face in your life. El Shaddai is the one that you run to. And so if you feel like what you're facing is greater than what you can handle, run to El Shaddai, because He is enough. And then, of course, Yahweh Jireh. I love that name because He is the Lord, your provider. And if you're in a situation where you have needs, then run to Him, because He knows your needs and He promises to supply all your needs. He is your provider. So those two, I think, are the greatest ones for security. And they're I run to El Shaddai. I run to God and call out to Him with these names when I'm in my great times of need and difficulty.
And it's no accident that He has revealed these names to us. It's not like He has thrown them out willy-nilly and like, try this one on for size, see if you like that. Because one of the things that occurred to me as I was looking through your book was we seem to have very generic prayers most of the time. You know, we say, God, I need this, and, you know, and we use a very generic name sometimes when we're talking to God. And what occurred to me as I was looking through your book is, wow, for every specific need I might come across when I am praying, I can address God's character very specifically to fulfill that need. That I don't just have to throw out the generic, dear God, here's what I need today. But we can call out to Him in a very specific way. And that kind of got me thinking about how I should reshape my prayer life. I mean, how do you think it would affect our prayer life? And hold on, Tara, we'll get to you, all right? I got to get this question out before I forget it in my foggy brain. How would it affect our prayer life if we started praying to God more specifically and addressing Him by His very specific names?
Well, it does totally revolutionize your prayer life, because you will never pray the same after you know God's name. You'll pray bigger. It will totally expand your prayers and have you believing God for things that are different than you ever believed Him for before, because now you'll know what He can do. And just think about it this way. As you know His names, you're going to become more intimate with Him, because you're going to realize in a deeper way who He is. And just think about the ones whose names you know. When you know a person's name, your conversation with that person changes. It becomes deeper. If you don't know a person's name, you're kind of like peripheral, kind of like not intimate. But when you know a person's name and you begin to know them well, your conversation is much longer. It's much deeper. You share your heart. you're more willing to open up about how you feel, and you talk with that person, you stop to listen to what they have to say, and so it really changes your prayer, and you will begin to address him by name. And I love addressing God by his names, and then just thinking about what those names mean, and then thanking him for who he is. It's very exciting.
Yeah, it's so true, because as a DJ, you often come across people who know your name. You know, they come up and they say, "Hey, yo," and you just kind of respond, "Hey, you, how are you?"
Right.
"How about that weather that we're all enjoying?" You know, it's different when you don't really know the person, and that's a great illustration. Now, Tara, I'm sorry I delayed there a little bit. Thank you for hanging in there, Tara. Welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say, Tara?
Don't apologize. Thank you for your faithfulness. Goodness. I'm sorry. I don't have a question. I just thought I could share things I hope will encourage some.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk away.
The Israelites saw wonderful, wonderful, amazing works of God, splitting the Red Sea, giving them quail and manna, making water. They kept complaining and saying, "Is God going to bring us out here to starve us? Is he going to let us die of thirst? How is X, Y, and Z, you know?" It dawned on me. I'm like, wow. Lots of people are like, "How could they do it? They saw him split the Red Sea." We do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, if we aren't going through hard times, we can't experience God. I'm like, if we're not weak, how can we know his strength? If we're not in pain, how can we know his joy? If we don't struggle, how can we know the Prince of Peace?
Mm.
Oh, what a good point there.
Yeah.
Tara, I love that. Mm. I am so glad you shared that because, you know, it's really true. When you're in the difficult time, how are you going to know his strength without needing his strength?
Mm-hmm.
What a great point. I love that. And so we can look at, and I think what I think about as you just shared that is that we can look at every opportunity to trust as an opportunity to know God more. And so when we're in a difficulty, we're in a struggle, we're in an adversity, if we can just change our perspective and say, "Oh, wait a minute. God is wanting to show me something great about himself, and I can trust him in this and then watch to see what he's going to do." But instead, so often, we're like the Israelites, aren't we? We're complaining. We're worrying. We're afraid. We're running the other direction. And God wants us to be people who trust him.
Those were excellent points. Thank you so much for calling in and helping out, Tara. I really appreciate it.
Very welcome. God bless you guys.
You too, Tara.
God bless you.
And if you have a question that you'd like to ask, if you'd like to ask about how you can really learn to trust in the name of God, perhaps you never really thought about it before. I'll be honest. I haven't thought about some of these issues that Catherine brought up in her book, Trusting in the Names of God, before either. Specifically, you know, calling out specific names of God in specific situations. It's kind of changed how I started thinking about prayer. Well, if you got some questions that you'd like to ask about trusting in the names of God, 505-338-5790. And again, you'll be doing me a favor because you'll probably help my voice last a little bit longer so we can get through the show tonight. 505-338-5790. If you'd like to join in tonight's conversation here on Raw Talk as we talk with Catherine Martin, author of the book Trusting in the Names of God. And Catherine, I know you didn't address this in your book, but I was kind of curious, so I hope you don't mind me asking this. There are some names of God that people don't like. For instance, we've all heard Oprah's very vocal proclamation that she cannot reconcile the fact that God's name is jealous, Elkanah. She couldn't understand how that would ever be the case, and because of that, she's kind of, you know, gone off to try and find a different God that better suited her sensibilities. What should we do when we come across a name like where God says in Exodus that his name is jealous? What do we do when we come across something like that and say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, God's name is jealous? I thought jealous wasn't a good thing. I thought that was a bad thing." You know, how do we reconcile that?
Well, God is good all the time.
Amen.
That's the first thing to remember. And we understand words in our own language and in our own actions.
Hmm.
But we need to define God as God defines himself. We need to understand his character as he really is. And God's jealousy is a good jealous. It means he's jealous for you.
Hmm.
He loves you. And he doesn't want you following after other gods. He doesn't want you living in the dirt of the world. He wants you to live holy, beautiful, righteous. And so he's jealous for your love in that regard. He wants you to love him because he wants the very best for you. So, you know, we define jealous as some kind of evil affection that is worldly and causes a lot of trouble. But God's jealousy is a good kind of jealous that just is defined by his love.
Yeah, I thought it was so sad to hear from someone like Oprah that that was a deal breaker for them. Like, well, I can't really trust in the God of the Bible because he says his name is jealous. And I thought, I don't know. I mean, that doesn't seem like an all bad thing for me. I'm sure my wife wouldn't feel very special. I was never jealous when someone else tried to, you know, pull her affections away. Or she probably wouldn't be very happy if I was never jealous when some sort of sin rose up that would try to divide us and my jealousy didn't spur me into action to make sure that that didn't happen. And it just seemed to me so sad that someone could say, oh, God's a jealous God, well, then I want nothing to do with him. And you know, that just didn't calculate in my mind. So I was just kind of wondering what your take was on that, so I appreciate you addressing that.
Well, that's my take, and the thing is that to remember that even in the church, when you look at those letters to the churches in Revelation, two of the greatest problems that those churches had were compromise and complacency.
Hmm.
And you see, the compromise is a divided loyalty. And that was the problem with the people of Israel. It's the problem in the churches even today. And so therein is God being jealous and wanting our love and not wanting us to be lukewarm or complacent or compromising, because it dilutes the church. And it dilutes your effectiveness, and it dilutes your relationship with God.
Hmm.
So, boy, I could go off on a whole sermon on the jealousy of God, couldn't I?
You go, girl. That's all right.
Well, and here's the other thing, you know, that gets me, is that we cannot let the world define our God.
Amen.
God is who he is. And so if we can't, we don't want a God of our own making. And I see people out in the world sometimes wanting a God of their own making. Well, that was the problem with the Israelites. And they created their own gods, as a matter of fact. And we want God as he is. God is who he is. Matter of fact, he said, Yahweh.
Hmm.
I am Yahweh. I am who I am. And so we want to know God as he is. And when we know him, we will trust him. And I'll tell you what, those who know their God will do great and mighty things. And it says it in Daniel 11:32. And then I say, watch out, world, because God can use a person who knows him in a mighty way.
I like that, and I like that a lot. It has me rubbing my hands, kind of like, all right, people, look out. excuse me. So sorry. We're talking with Catherine Martin, author of the book, Trusting in the Names of God. And again, if you have a question about that, trusting in God, trusting in his names, that you'd like to ask, please do so, 505-338-5790, as we talk with Catherine Martin. And going back again to, you know, just the times that we're living in, the economy is something that we've heard a lot about in the past 90 days leading up to this election. And people are looking for a source of provision. And I know we already touched on this, but, you know, let's get a little more specific. Let's talk about some places where God points out in Scripture not only his name, but how he's going to provide for us. Because I know people are thinking, if we can just get the right person into office, then everything's going to be all right. But again, that just struck me. I don't know how you felt about this, but that just struck me as like, we're hoping that a person is going to solve these problems when we as Christians especially aren't of this world. We are on a different economy. We're on the kingdom economy. We are, you know, we should be trusting in a different source for our security of provision. And, you know, again, what names of God and where are they found that we can turn to say, okay, I can trust in God for my provision, no matter what may be happening in our economy?
Well, and the first thing that I would say is that I have seen so many expressing great fear, anxiety, worry. And if you find yourself living in fear, anxiety, and worry, then you can know that that's the opposite of trust.
Mm.
And so the greatest thing that you can do to live a life of trust in God is to know his names. And there are some names of God that are going to be what I look at. The names of God are the greatest promises in the Bible. And, of course, the Bible is filled with promises that you can trust in and embrace and live. And the result, of course, of a promise of God is hope. You will live a life of hope, which is holding on with patient expectation. And so the greatest promises that God has given us is himself and his names. And so, for example, that name, Yahweh Jireh, the Lord your provider, he literally promises that he will provide for you. And you might think, well, is that like an overall provision? I'm going to tell you, he will provide for you in the very details of your life. God is a God of detail. And I love the promise in Psalm 37 where it says, he delights in the steps of the godly, and he is interested in the very detail of their lives. And so you can know that God is concerned about those things that you're concerned about. But God is not worried about what he's going to do. And, you know, sometimes we act as though God is just, you know, something it happens and we think, oh, God must be thinking, oh, no, what am I going to do now? And you need to know that that is not how your God is. God knows exactly how to provide for you, and you can count on him to do it. However, he may not provide for you in the way that you want, but he does have provision for you, and you can trust that he may have something on his mind that you haven't thought of yet, because God is greater than ourselves. God is infinite. God can do anything, and you can count on him to do it.
So what you're saying is, if I'm expecting God to provide me by winning a lotto ticket, that's probably not the right expectation.
Well, exactly. You know, God is going to provide for you in the way that he has in mind. And the trust is on our part to trust him to be who he is and to do what he promises to do. And he promises to take care of us. And so you can trust him to do it. But for us to outline exactly how he's going to do it and tell him what he's going to do, we can't presume to tell God what he's going to do and how he needs to do it. And I see some people sometimes doing that, but that's not what God's calling us to do, and that's not what trust is all about.
Well, I'm glad you pointed that out so we could clarify that, because, you know, there are some people, like you said, who do that. It's like, okay, here's how you're going to do this, God. And I like your phrasing, we shouldn't presume to tell God how to take care of things. And we have Teresa on the line. Teresa, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, Teresa?
Oh, thank you. My dad is having a hard time trusting God. So I was wondering if you could please help me with that. He once asked me why God lets awful things happen to good and innocent people like children. Like, how would you explain that, and how can you trust in a God who lets bad things happen to people like that?
Well, that's like a whole nother show, but Catherine, if you can tackle that, please do so.
Well, I think the biggest thing is to understand that we live in a fallen world. And, you know, I don't think that we're ever going to fully understand suffering this side of eternity and pain. And, you know, I live with my mother dealing with multiple sclerosis right now. And I just think to understand that God has a plan, and ultimately he is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And someday the suffering and the pain and the tears are going to be wiped from our eyes, and all things are going to be new, and this world will pass away. But for now, for a time, we're living in a fallen world where evil abounds, and we're going to see it abound even more, as a matter of fact, because we know, according to 2 Timothy, that in the last days, difficult times will come. And it goes on to talk about how evil abounds, and men are going to be lovers of self and lovers of evil, and on and on and on. So I think that that is probably the best answer I can give, but to understand that God is sovereign and nothing is going to thwart his plan, and he is going to bring about the ultimate plan, and we do know the rest of the story, thankfully.
Yes. Thank you so much.
And you know, Teresa, let me just say, because this is kind of one of my pet peeves when it comes to people and their issues with God, you know, saying, well, I can't believe in a God who allows all this bad stuff to happen to good people and things of that nature. And again, you know, not to sound too harsh, but let's be honest, most of the time, that's just someone's way of pushing off the responsibility for them to deal with their own heart and with God. It's just a way for them to find an easy way out. Because really what you're trying to do is you're trying to push all the responsibility onto God for everything that happens, regardless of the fact that we have our own free will and that there's an evil force out there by the name of Satan who is out doing his best to mess things up. As Catherine pointed out, the amazing thing is that God's will reign, and it will all work out according to his plan. But that's not to say that we don't have responsibility for our own choices and that Satan isn't out there trying to mess things up as well. When people say, well, how could God allow all this evil to happen? It's kind of like saying, well, why is God causing evil to happen? God doesn't cause evil to happen. That's what Satan does. God is trying to help us stand against that evil to make sure that it doesn't dominate our eternity and it doesn't ultimately destroy us. So, you know, it's one of those things where I kind of wonder, well, what is the real issue here?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's such a cliche to say, well, I can never trust in God. You know, you need to get past the cliche and find out, okay, why do you think that? And why would you blame God rather than the people who are responsible for their actions and for the devil who's obviously out trying to destroy as much as he can? Jesus even said, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, that sounds like all the bad stuff that everyone ever blames God for. But the Bible doesn't say that's God that's doing it. It says that's what the enemy does. So, you know, there's a lot of issues tied in with that, and I'm sorry to go off on a little rant, especially when I don't have a voice. But
well, and, you know, I think that I would just add to that to understand that there are things that we can know about God, mm-hmm. and that is that God loves us,
mm-hmm.
and we know that God is good,
mm-hmm.
and that he is compassionate, and that he is kind. And, you know, usually, like Yo said, that it's mostly an issue of the will.
Mm-hmm.
If someone doesn't come to the Lord, it is usually an issue of the will. And I just like to say, God does love you, and he has a plan for your life. And if you will give yourself to him and receive his forgiveness and eternal life, he is going to work that plan out, and you're going to see him do things in your life that you can't even believe.
Yeah, and Teresa, I wouldn't let that question put you off in trying to continue that conversation.
Okay.
Like I said, most of the time, it's just a convenient excuse to keep the person from trying to have to deal with the real issue, which, as Catherine pointed out, is their heart and what its condition is before a loving God. So don't let the excuse kind of get you off the track, all right?
Okay, thank you. Also, I was wondering if maybe you had any verses that I could share with him.
About
about trust and how we can know to trust him and why we trust him, maybe?
Yeah, that's a good question, Catherine. Do you have any off the top of your head?
I would say, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, mm-hmm. which is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So that's one. And then another one would be Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. And then another really good one is that let him, it's Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. And then just one more that I think is a real good one. When you don't really understand what God's doing and you don't have a firm grasp on it, to realize Isaiah 55, he says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So that's a good one, too.
Okay, thank you both so much.
Yeah, and one more that I toss in, Teresa.
No.
Well, I have one more verse that I'd toss in.
Okay.
Because it sounds like your dad might be a little troubled about some of the stuff that he's seeing in the world.
Yeah.
John 14:1, Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. So that might be something that could prove useful as well, especially when it comes to facing the troubles of this world. I hope that helps out, Teresa.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for calling in as I clear my throat. So sorry. 505-338-5790. If you have a question that you'd like to ask, like Teresa, those were really good questions. I'm so glad that she called in with those particular questions. And let's get kind of practical here, Catherine. How can people start exploring these names of God for themselves? You know, you have your book, Trusting in the Names of God, that can help them with that. But what are some other resources that they can turn to help them really start exploring what Scripture has to say about the names of God for themselves, so they can find these riches, these gems, these beautiful truths, and hide them in their hearts?
Well, I encourage them to get a Bible. They, and I'm sure most have a Bible, but begin to open it up and begin to reference these names and then cross-reference them all the way through the Bible. And I do recommend that you get this book, because I list out 14 of the key names of God. And you can also find out about God from different resources like Knave's Topical Bible or an Exhaustive Concordance, any of those tools. And then literally begin to sit down with your Bible and look at all the different truths about who God is. And the more you do that and the more you know God, the more you're going to trust him, because the Holy Spirit will literally bring those names to your mind and remind you, whoa, I feel this way, but God is this way. I feel like I can't do this, but God can do this. And then you're going to learn that thing that I always say, I can't, but he can, because God can do so much more than we can ever even imagine that he can do. So I encourage people to get the book, to get a good journal or notebook, to begin writing these truths out for themselves, open the Bible, and begin to live in these truths and think about what they mean for your everyday life. One of the most important things that we can do is just stop. Stop in the middle of our busy lives and know who God is. As a matter of fact, he says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Hmm. That's God talking. He wants us to stop, and literally that be still means stop, relax. It's kind of like saying hold everything and know that I am God. And so he's inviting us to the journey, and I look at it as a journey, and that's why I called this book A 30-Day Journey, because it is a journey into the land of God and knowing who he is, what he can do in your life, and then putting your trust in him.
Now, when you were preparing this book, how did you go about researching these names of God and exploring these names of God? What was your process as you were preparing this material for other people?
Well, I got those tools that I just shared with you, and I just began listing out the names of God and looking up every verse that had to do with that name. For, as a matter of fact, El Elyon, which is God Most High, means that God is sovereign, means that he's in charge, he's in control. And so then what I did is I looked at the lives of some of the men and women of God in the Bible that had to do with that name. For example, Joseph. And, you know, Joseph, what a life he had of being sold into slavery. How could you say that God is sovereign when here's a guy that was sold into slavery, ended up in prison, but then ended up as one of the most powerful men in all of Egypt, helping to preserve the land and ultimately get food to his own family? And at the end of the day, Joseph was able to say to his brothers, who actually sold him into slavery, he was able to say, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And there you see the sovereignty of God. So that's just one of the little things that I looked at as I was studying these different names. What does it mean that God's sovereign? Yeah. What does it mean that God is my victory? What does it mean that he's my peace? What does it mean to have peace? And I literally looked up all those occurrences using a concordance and using Knave's Topical Bible, using my dictionaries. I love the Hebrew-Greek keyword study Bible because it gives the definitions of some of the names and some of the Hebrew and Greek words. And I just wrote it out on a piece of paper and began compiling all that information. And it was more for myself at first to learn and to grow in my intimate relationship with the Lord, but then to include it in a book so that I could give it to everyone else.
Just sounds like good, solid investigative journalism. I love that. We have James on the line. James, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, James?
Yes, my question is about praying for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And since God has a plan for each one of us,
mm-hmm.
when you pray for somebody, what should your prayer be?
Well, that's a very good question. And Catherine, how should we address that when we're calling out on God's names?
Well, I think to call on the names of God for that person and to understand that God knows when we don't know. And interestingly, God will lead us in prayer. But we also know that according to Romans 8, where it talks about the Holy Spirit, he knows our weakness and knows that we don't always know what to pray. And he actually promises that he will help us in our prayers, and God will hear what the Spirit prays. If you can believe that, isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
That God gives us everything we need for everything we pray. And so when you're praying, when you don't know what to pray for someone, you know who to pray to. And you may not know what God's plan for their life holds, but you know who holds the plan.
Uh-huh.
So you can go to God and pray for that person, trusting in God, all that he promises he is, that he is our healer, that he's our victory, that he's the God who sanctifies, he's our peace, he is our shepherd, he's our dad, he's our papa, our Abba Father. And you can pray to him for your friend and trust that God will provide for that person when you entrust that person to him.
And, you know, who knows, maybe you could ask the person that you're praying for, you know, what exactly is going on in their life specifically that they need help with, and then you could appeal to that specific name of God to help them out with that very need. Does that help you out, James?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling in, because that's such a great question. I know a lot of people are probably thinking the same thing, so I'm sure you helped out a lot of people by asking that. So have a great evening. All right, James?
Yeah, you too.
Thank all right. You. Take care. Well, Catherine, we've made it through the show, and I'm still talking, so I'd have to call that a pretty successful show if I still have voice left to talk about. But real quick, what is one last thing that you'd like to impart to people to hold on to when it comes to trusting in the names of God, especially, once again, as we go into this election and then beyond that? You know, we're facing a new year coming up. We're facing a lot of uncertainty in our world. And what exactly is it about trusting in the names of God that will really help people find the security and just the sense of peace that they need as we go into all this craziness?
Well, I would just encourage everyone with that verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And just know that even if you don't know, and you've probably heard this said before, even if you don't know what the future holds, you can know who holds the future.
Hmm.
And so the most important thing that you can know is to be still and know that He is God. And so that's my encouragement to others, to totally rely on Him under stress and trial and know that He is enough for everything that you face, not only today, but tomorrow as well.
Well, Catherine, author of the book Trusting in the Names of God, real quick, where can people find out more about you, more about the book, some of the past books that you've written? You know, we've talked with you about knowing and loving the Bible and being filled with the Spirit, and you just do such cool stuff. Where can they find out more about you?
Well, you can go to Quiet Time Ministries online. It's at www.quiettime.org, and just log on and check it out. I have a blog. I have we have just all kinds of resources up there to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord, and just go there, and we'll encourage you, and grab your Bible and spend some time with the Lord.
Amen. Well, thank you, Catherine, for putting up with a slightly lower key, slightly raspy host tonight. I appreciate your time here on Raw Talk as we talked, and again, it just seems so important to me, so crucial, so key. I wasn't going to let anything keep us from talking about this, especially, you know, going into everything that's happening this week. But just for people to know that you can trust in God, I had a burning in my heart to make sure I was here to talk about this tonight. So thank you so much for your time this evening.
You are so welcome, and God bless everyone.
All right. Good night. And next week on Raw Talk, just in case you're curious, since the election will finally be over, I decided we should talk about something that's so far from anything having to do with politics that everyone can kind of have a nice respite from all that. And so we're actually going to talk about something that's asked a lot, the question of tattooing. Should we tattoo? Should we not tattoo? Is it biblical? Is it non-biblical? Is it okay? Is it not okay? We're going to address all those issues. We did it once last year, and it was one of the things that people kept asking about. They keep coming back to that. It's such a key thing that people want to understand. And so we'll explore that. And like I said, post-election, that's about as non-political as I could think of to make the show. So join us next Sunday for Raw Talk, and pray that I have my voice back for that. And thank you so much for joining us here on Raw Talk on M88.